You guys get to be blessed or sometimes suffer from things that I struggle with. And so the message this morning is just a simple message concerning prayer. And I know as much as I pray that I still struggle praying enough. I still struggle with cleaning my mind and heart of the world and filling it with the Lord. And I know I need to pray more. And sometimes, like you, I might let the busyness of life get in the way of spending the amount of time I should in prayer. Martin Luther said once, he said, "I have so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to get it all done." And it seems like really the busier we get in life, the more we need prayer, or at least I do. So I wanted to open our time in prayer. I'm using a prayer out of Matthew chapter 6 that many of you may have been taught as children. So if you know it, you're welcome to say it along with me. It starts out, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And then I was taught, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. Amen." So, what did we just pray? You know, many religions teach that if you say memorized prayers and you say them in repetition, it deepens your spirituality. The Jewish believe this, the Catholics believe it, and the Muslims believe it. But so the question I have is, does praying memorized prayers and praying in repetition deepen your spirituality? Does chanting prayers in unknown tongues deepen one's spirituality? Reciting the prayer, "Our Father," over and over, does it deepen your spirituality? On the other hand, if we really understand what we just prayed, if we are praying from the heart instead of from tradition, or if we're praying from the heart instead of memorization, then it does have meaning. Because it begins with recognizing that God the Father is in heaven, and that His will is not only done in heaven, but His will is done here on earth. And as Christians, we represent God on earth, and we are to do His will. And when we do His will, and when we look forward to our lives living in Christ, and when we live our lives in Christ, then those around us begin to see that there's something different, that we have a different focus in our life than much of the world and certainly much of America. We also, in this prayer, it says that, you know, Christ, through Christ, our debts, our sins, our trespasses have been forgiven. And so we experience complete forgiveness. God doesn't see us for the sinners we are. He sees us through Christ. And because Christ's forgiveness of us brings the miracle of salvation, then we should have this immense debt and gratitude for the grace and mercy of Christ. But you know what that also teaches me is something else that I struggle with. And that is, if Christ can forgive me, I need to forgive others. And sometimes I really struggle with that. And, you know, Christ didn't do the easy thing. He didn't just go back up to heaven when he was done teaching. He was crucified. And he lay in the grave 3 days. And then he was resurrected. So if Christ could pay that price to forgive us, should we not really pray and consider in our hearts forgiving those who have wronged us, and sometimes without any fault of our own, but we still need to forgive them? And then, because of Christ, we get the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. And then when we submit to the Holy Spirit, He certainly does empower us to overcome sin, the sin of this world. And then finally, as we look at that prayer, it tells us our destination ultimately is heaven. And that because we have that destination, because we have a relationship with Christ, we can live in this evil and broken and messed up world and still have peace and joy and love that the world simply doesn't understand. Luther also said, he said, pray and let God worry. So when we pray, you know, God has got big enough shoulders that He can take all of our worries. And when He does that, He replaces our worries with His peace. And, you know, what's interesting, though, if you look at this prayer, the verses before it, Jesus taught something that was also important. In verses 5-8, He said, and when you pray, you must not pray like hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father sees in secret and will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many, many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So He tells us then, if we pray this model prayer that He gave us, it's because it's supposed to be a model, not necessarily the only prayer we ever pray. And that He tells us we're not supposed to be like the religions where you just pray the same thing over and over. And you think somehow that will deepen your spiritual relationship. So the bottom line is He's telling us that our prayer life should be a relationship with God through Christ. That we not only pour out the concerns of our heart, but we listen, we get silent, and we hear Him. And, you know, Luther also knew how critical prayer life was. His prayer life was amazing. But he said it was also important when we pray to not only pray in private, but also pray in community. Luther said, to gather with God's people in united adoration of the Father is as necessary to Christian life as prayer itself. So Luther understood that coming together as a community, as Christians, is important because it builds us up. We hold each other accountable. We love on each other. And we protect each other. So now, I also would like to then talk about what some people have come to expect from prayer. If you have your Bible, you can turn to the book of John, chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 12 to 14. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And this is Jesus speaking. Or God speaking. And greater works than these will He do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, many religions believe if they pray that prayer, they can pray whatever they want. You know, I'd like a new Mercedes. And God better give it to me. But I want to look at verses 13 and 14. It's not, really not what God says. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name. Whatever in the Greek means there is no restriction. we can ask anything. We can seek God from our hearts with anything. And he wants us to ask and share the concerns of our hearts. And then Jesus continues and he says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. So whatever we seek from God that is in his will, he will do. John wrote in his first letter to the he said, when we pray, this is the confidence that we have towards God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So when we pray, God transforms our selfish hearts over time into hearts that love the Lord, and we begin to want to seek his will and not our own will. And if we believe in and know God, then we also know nothing is impossible for God. So if we ask the humanly impossible, and it is the will of God, we will see God do impossible things. You know, when we ask in his name and we ask that our needs be met, and we're trying to understand what the will of God is, when we pray, how do we know what is the will of God? That's the hard question sometimes. Well, Jesus gives us the answer, quite frankly, in the second half of verse 13. He says, the will of God is that the Father be glorified in the Son. We live to glorify God the Father by having accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Living our lives as Jesus has taught and the example he gave us brings God glory. It is Jesus that gives us this unique privilege as Christians to have a relationship with God. Most other religions believe their prayers are distant, that God is not, he's up in heaven and he just kind of looks over and kind of keeps an eye on things. They don't really believe that you can have this intimate relationship with the living God. And that is so unique. So Jesus says, as the God the Son, he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So when we ask of God in his name and within his glory and within his will through Christ, quite simply, he will do it. God will answer. And when God answers your prayer, what should your response be? It should be very simple. Yes, God, I will obey. See, as we've talked in the past, the scriptures teach that God owns us. We have given ourselves freely to become the slaves of Christ. And so therefore, when God asks anything of us, whether it's very simple, it's difficult, it could cost us our lives, we are to simply say, yes, God, I will obey. So, as we live our lives, then, we're to live them in a way to show the world that there is truly something different about Christians. The problem we have, especially in America, is with TV evangelists, huge mega churches, and things that are taught, people are often wondering, what does it mean to be a Christian? And the answer is always found in God's Word, not in the mouth of a preacher necessarily. So Luther said, also, I like Luther if you can't tell this morning, prayer is a strong wall. It is a fortress of the church. It is a goodly Christian weapon. So what I'd like to do this morning, very simply, is we've talked about prayer. We've talked about the need for prayer. I've certainly talked about my need to pray more. And we've talked about that prayer is a goodly Christian weapon against evil. So I'd like just to take, not long, just a moment, and get quiet and open our hearts and quietly pray. And then in a moment, I will bring us back together and I'll close in prayer. And then we'll sing one more song and then we'll start a time of fellowship. So let's just quiet our hearts, come before the Lord and spend a moment in prayer.